Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, a special place of exploration, love, and healing. Stay inside your ride, but prepare to expand your consciousness. Your psychic pitchmen, Michael Espinoza and Lawrence Birch, are your guides as we embark.
Hello?
Exploration. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Yes, welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, everybody. Had a little competing intros there, a little of old, a little of new. Still getting settled into 2021. So,
yes, we are.
Yes, yes. How is my esteemed co-host this evening, Mr. Michael Espinoza?
I am doing well, thank you, Mr. Lawrence. How are you?
Well, as we were talking about pre-show, I think we both had very interesting weeks this week.
We sure did.
So, yeah, and I'm really thrilled that, you know, I'm not thrilled about the flooding and the evacuation part of it, but I'm thrilled to hear that California finally accepted Oregon's donation of rain, and the Sierras are filled with snow, and rainstorms are happening all over from north to south, and looks like, you know, if it keeps up, the drought's going to be put off for a little while longer anyway. So that's good.
Yeah, we need it down here, especially.
I know.
We're very dry. So any precipitation is needed and wanted. So we're happy about that.
Yeah, we had a day and a night, basically, maybe a day, night and a half of snowfall up here, which was fun. So
nice.
They've got to make, they got to make snowmen and snowwomen and snow non-gender binary conformist people and all sorts of fun stuff. And it was really great just to have, you know, it show up for a little bit and then melt away without any ice or nastiness, at least not at this elevation. Can't speak for the mountain folks. But. So yeah, mm-hmm. weather's doing some interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so nice. Speaking of interesting things, that's a high-quality segue for those who are listening. We're going to be talking about wolf medicine tonight.
Oh, we are.
Wolf medicine. Yes, wolf medicine. Everybody loves wolf medicine. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's a little spooky.
Oh, you don't want to be afraid. Not with wolf.
It's a little
but
spooky.
But they do kind of,
sir.
They make you pay attention, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you've got to listen. There's all sorts of stuff going on with wolf medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You could be walking in the forest or out on the prairie or maybe up in the mountains and think everything's hunky-dory, not paying attention. And then you hear that, right? The hairs stand up on the back of your neck and you're like, what was that?
Absolutely. I would be very frightened.
Well, the good news is that there really are very few documented, anyway, wolf attacks on human beings, just to start with that. Wolves are sometimes interested in us, And, you know, not to say that there haven't been times when we've mixed it up as a species and come out the losers. However, compared to other animals, even bears, wolves pretty much just kind of do their own thing. And let's just, you know, talk about our shared history. If it wasn't for wolves, we wouldn't have dogs. So, you know, got to hand it to them for that, right? Got to love the dog people. Yeah, so it's trade-off. But so before I talk about wolf medicine, I want to address your fear. What is it about wolves that you can think of that makes you fearful of them? If you had to describe
it. Killers. They're killers.
Mm-hmm.
And they will eat you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Little Red Riding Hood, right? All the myths and stories about wolves. And yeah, well, if you look at wolf history, it's really interesting. You know, like Rome, for example, was associated with the symbol of the wolf. That was the city, and the Romans took that as their symbol. So it was and other tribes pre them even, you know, have obviously taken medicine and power and knowledge from wolves and wolf medicine. But there was definitely a change in perspective when the symbol of, sheep and the shepherd became predominant in Christianity, for example. And wolves, which were already associated with paganism, really became associated with evil. And then, you know, there are other myths where wolves don't have a really positive reputation, but it's really hard to generalize. You know, wolves are very, you know, like I said in the beginning of the intro to the show, wolves are very charismatic. They're very enigmatic, and they're hard to really pin down. You know, we have this concept of the lone wolf, you know, which can be a positive thing, you know, somebody doing their own thing and not bothering anybody, just going about the business. And then also the lone wolf of like, uh-oh, they're going to come back and, you know, be a jackal and do something potentially harmful. So I think what it sums up is that there's a lot of power that we attribute to wolves, and for good reason. You know, just looking at them as a species, you know, they have really intense features, you know, strong jaws, strong legs, they can run, they have endurance, they can go long distances. They also have really, really amazing qualities that, you know, we've come to associate with wolf medicine, like family. Wolves are a huge family a species that really depends on the family, and they provide for their family. And that's a really wonderful quality of loyalty and providing. Wolves are also big about disciplining family. Wolves are, you know, one of the species that will actually kill another species of wolf if the situation warrants it, you know? So there's a certain kind of wolf justice that will, you know, fiercely defend family, but also fiercely correct problems within the family, right? Because there's order, there's hierarchy there. And if you don't respect that, then you can run afoul of it, right? And get in trouble.
Right.
The other thing that wolves seem to be associated with, and you can't generalize. I mean, there's almost 700 at least, maybe more, maybe less, recognized tribal nations just within the United States boundaries, more if you include Canada and Central and South America. And the cultures that have had regular contact with the wolves have different associations with them. One of the things that seems to be more common, you know, and again, native that I know of, and even if I wasn't raised within a culture, so I'd be an outsider even if I, you know, had quote-unquote native blood. So much of what I've gotten has been from other Native people or readings or teachings. And, you know, as part of my disclaimer, I could get stuff wrong, and I certainly don't want to offend anyone intentionally. But if I do, you know, I hope I get corrected so I can be as accurate as possible, because that's my goal and my intention always. And some of my information just comes directly from Wolf, because I identify with Wolf as a power animal of mine, as a teacher of mine, directly from the spirit realms. So, but that's another thing I was going to say, is Wolf is about teaching. People that have Wolf medicine, they're often really excellent teachers, good storytellers. They know how to work with knowledge and impart it so people can understand and receive it well. So there's a lot of really, you know, amazing things that Wolf can teach us and Wolf has to offer us. Ultimately, you know, I would encourage people to form their own associations with wolves. And you can do that on just a, you know, fun level, where you learn about them through mythology or stories or nature programs, things like that. That's a good intro. And then you can go deeper if you feel called, as I have been, to connect with and understand them on a spiritual level and try to honor them by carrying their medicine. And there was just a full moon last night, so all the werewolves in town were out howling. I don't know if they were out in your town or not, but...
No. We have coyotes. Are they cousins?
They are, yeah. They're related. I don't know that they can hybridize. I don't know enough of my genetics. I know that an old friend of mine had a coyote dog and mama bear. She was not too interested in men for some reason. I don't know if she had a bad experience being raised, but it took me a long time to warm up to her. But she was always a little skittish. But dogs and wolves can hybridize, so maybe they're in between. So,
A while back ago, I remember watching this segment. I think it was on CBS This Morning, the news show on Sunday mornings, or is it called CBS Sunday Morning? And they did this segment on, I can't even remember where it was. It was somewhere in this reserve. And they allowed people to kill the wolves. And so as a result, it destroyed the ecosystem. You know, it was just kind of falling apart. Water stopped coming through there, and the buffalo were kind of trampling on everything, and a lot of the vegetation was dying away as a result. And then they finally started bringing back the wolves. They brought back some of them, and they allowed them to, you know, procreate and I don't know what the word is. Anyway, they came back to this area, and the whole ecosystem just like came back to life. It was amazing. Like all the vegetation started coming back, and the water was coming back, and it was just like incredible. And I had no idea that, you know, this wolves could have an impact on an ecosystem like this. And it was just really astounding.
It sounds like what you're talking about is the restoration of wolves to Yellowstone.
That was it. Yes.
Well, you know, this is what we have come to understand about apex predators like wolves, like bears, like mountain lions. When you remove them, they are, you know, a significant, a keystone species, if you will, similar to the way the spotted owl in the Pacific Northwest is a keystone species, or an indicator species, at least. And so the animals that these predators prey on, when they don't feel the environmental pressure, the biological pressure of a predator, you know, potentially coming around and doing what you were, you know, admitting the fears of about wolves earlier, being eaten, which is very real if you're an ungulate, you know, an elk or a sheep or even a moose. Mountain lion will eat your lunch for breakfast, as well as wolves and bears. Your habits change. And over time, what happened with Yellowstone is kind of what you were describing. The vegetation was eaten down to the nub because there were overpopulation, and erosion happened, and water quality was affected, you know. So the environment did not look anything like what it did before these animals were extirpated or taken out. Yeah, you're exactly right. Once they, you know, they had to work really hard, because people that have livestock to this day hate wolves, and often, you know, mistakenly blame them for kills, when in fact maybe it was something else or another predator. They made an agreement, you know, that within the confines of Yellowstone, wolves are going to be introduced. There's a really wonderful podcast about a female wolf who is this amazing hunter, but who ended up, after a number of years, getting taken by a hunter because she wandered outside of the safety boundaries, you know, that wolves don't understand the way people do. And I think it was in Wyoming. She was taken by a hunter with a wolf tag, which I find amazing that they actually get those out. But so, yeah. Interesting, right? Balance.
Yeah.
Balance.
Very.
Yeah. Well, so let's say people wanted to gain some balance in their lives, Michael, like that segue. I'm all about the segue tonight. How would they do that by contacting you for a healing session?
Or they can reach me through my website at michaeljespinoza.com. They can also call me or text me at 562-457-0457. And how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they have to call me.
They do.
They have to know how to find me.
How
first.
Do they do that?
Well, they can do that by using my phone number, 541-344-7534, which can also receive text because it's my cell phone. Or you can use my email at givingtree@earthlink.net. My Facebook page is worth checking out, Giving Tree Farm Herb Company, and givingtreefarm.com is my website. So multiple opportunities.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well,
before we go to calls, I'd like to just jump in here and tell the listeners about next week's show. Because we have a guest next week.
Ooh, do tell. I'm excited.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yeah, me too. So next week we have a special guest, and the special guest is Jennifer Palladino, also known as Jennifer, and she's a doctor of chiropractic medicine, and also she does sound healing, sound baths, and she's pretty amazing, and she has really a lot of great stories, and she's really interesting and fun, and very animated. I love her, and I know you're going to love her. Everybody out there, all our fans, the Psychic Funhouse fans, and also to you, Mr. Leonce, I think you're going to enjoy her as well.
Did I mention my dad's a chiropractor?
No. He is.
Mm. Yeah.
I wonder if they know each other.
All chiropractors know all chiropractors, Michael. It's part of the tradition.
Well, there you go. Amazing. So, well, I'm glad they know each other. That's nice.
It is, isn't it?
So, yes. So, tune in next week, Friday, same bat time, bat channel, to listen to Jennifer and talk about sand healing. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Love sound healing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's great.
Well, good. I'm excited. Yeah, we've got a lot of great upcoming shows and guests already in the pipeline for you listeners. So be sure to follow us. That way you can stay in the loop. And you can go to blogtalkradio.com and search for Psychic Funhouse. And it's very easy to click the link to follow us, and you'll be able to see all the upcoming shows and plan them as part of your schedule. So you can be the first caller to get on with our lovely guests, or when it's just me and Mr. Michael, and take advantage of our amazing skills for a reading or two or healing, or just get some information and expand your consciousness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, is it time to go to the phones? What do you think?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Are we ready to roll? We're ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready. Ready to rock and roll.
All right. So
let's do it.
So we have to howl first. We have to howl to bring in.
Oh, we do?
New month.
Yeah. Okay.
On three. We'll have some background help. Are you ready? One. Do your best howl. Make your dogs in the neighborhood stand up and go, one, two, three, howl. Howl. Oh, oh, oh.
Okay.
All right. That wasn't too bad for a beginning howl. It was like a baby howl.
That was good.
Baby wolf howl. Baby wolf howl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll work on your howl. Wolf man. Okay. So we're going to go to callers, and we'll have to howl for us if they want us to do a reading. I think that's a requirement for tonight. So, yeah, quid pro quo.
Right.
So let us know where you're calling from and what your name is, and we'll go from there. So we're looking at our first caller is from area code 509. Hi there. You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Michael and Lawrence. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hello. 509.
Yeah. We've got an indication that they're listening. Are you on board, Michael? Are you linked in? Are you logged in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't you click on the caller?
Hello? Hello?
There we go.
Is this 509?
Yeah. I just got unmuted. That's what happened.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to lose you.
Yeah.
So who are you?
Just,
where are you calling
from? I was
from?
Muted.
What's your name?
My name is Erica, and I'm calling from Washington State.
Nice.
Oh, hi, Erica.
We got the whole West Coast represented.
Thanks.
Now. Cali, Oregon, and Washington. Very good.
Yeah.
So I know you're listening to the show for a while, Erica. Do you have a wolf howl for us? You care to demonstrate?
I'm too embarrassed.
Oh, no. Just take a deep breath. Nobody can see you on radio. It's a secret. That's why Michael and I are on radio.
Exactly.
We have faces for radio. We'll howl with you. How about that? Does that help? Or I will. Who knows?
Okay.
Who will? Cause he's... All right. Well, so we'll howl together. We'll
I'll
be the wolf
supervise.
Pack.
Yeah, one,
supervise.
Two, three, howl.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. There we go. Oh. Keep going, Erica. Oh.
How?
Laughing. Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
We're going to need some work on that one. But that was a start. At least it was a start. You tipped your tail in. Ha ha. Bad joke. So what can we do for you tonight, Erica? Do you have any questions? Or,
yes. Yeah. I was hoping that I can... somebody was able to channel my puppies. I recently lost two due to parvo, and
oh no!
I just feel really bad.
Yeah, two of them. You had two puppies go.
Yeah, one of them passed away Saturday, but I mean, I didn't really like. I never even knew what parvo was or anything. They're my parents'
mm-hmm.
dogs, but like, I'm the one
mm-hmm.
that would, you know. Like, I was caring because I noticed he was, like, acting weird, not himself. So I started caring for him. And then on Monday, we had another one. And then he passed away Saturday. And then on Monday, another one started. And she, I started caring for her. I went to the vet, and they told me she was positive for parvo. Then I was, like, caring for her. She was doing great. And then the next morning, it just went downhill, and I took her to the hospital, but I don't know what, but, like, she had seizures, and then she had also a high temperature, which they tell me that's not really, I mean, she did test positive for parvo, so she had it, but I don't know why she also had the seizure and the high temperature, a fever.
Mm-hmm. Were they able to do anything for her? Did you have medications to give her, or was there anything you could do, or just had to kind of wait it out, or what was the vet's recommendation?
I was doing the at home care, and I was giving her IV fluids and her medication, and you know, but she was doing great that night, and then she got up on her own. Mm-hmm. She was like. Went straight for her water bowl and was drinking, and we were like, wow, what a miracle, you know, like she's doing so great.
Yeah.
And then the next morning it just went downhill, and then I took her to the hospital, and they notified me that she had passed away an hour after dropping her off.
Mm. How are you feeling about all this, Erica? This is very intense. Two in the week.
Yeah, I don't understand how. I mean, how they even caught it? If they're outdoor dogs, yes, but there's a big gate and they never go anywhere. So none of my other dogs seem to have anything wrong with them. And you know, these two we got in September, and it's been how many months? Like, I just don't understand. I don't know what happened. How is it that they caught it? If like I said, they're pretty isolated.
Yeah. Does that have an explanation? Did you ask them?
No. They just, it's hard to tell. They hardly, like, they don't know much about the parvo. They just know it's very contagious. But, I mean, none of the other dogs, they're fine. So.
Wow. That's crazy.
I was just hoping that I was able to connect with them.
Pretty recent. So, you know, Michael and I can talk about it. It's not always the easiest or what's the right way to say it? You know, there's a transition period, I guess, for animals and humans. You know what I mean? Where they're kind of adjusting, you know, to their new circumstance. Time doesn't really have any meaning in the spirit world generally, like it does here, but they still go through, you know, people and animals both, they go through kind of a, you know, a transition phase. So it can be difficult to connect with them in the way that we usually do spiritually when it's a recent passing.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, see what we can come up with for you. You know, I don't know. How are you mm-hmm. feeling about what she's been sharing, Michael? We're both animal lovers, so we're really heartbroken.
Yeah.
I was very heartbroken, and
mm-hmm.
it just sucks, you know, like it just.
Oh, yeah.
Very unfortunate, especially because it's a vaccine that could have, it's something that could have been prevented. But I was talking to a buddy mm-hmm. and he was telling me that his dog got it and he was vaccinated, but it didn't hit him so hard. Like the animal was able to handle it. So, I mean, they're mm-hmm. my parents' dogs and,
mm-hmm.
but I should have stepped in and made sure, like, I just, they were such lovely dogs. They're so pretty. And
what kind of breed were they? A mix?
They were mutts. They were pretty mutts,
though.
Cool. Long hair.
Mm-hmm.
She was like a beige color, and
mm-hmm.
They were just, you know, like when I get home, I'm still in the car, and they recognize the car, and they're like running around crazy, wagging their tails, like, oh, you're home.
Isn't that great? That's the great thing about dogs, man. When they love you, it's just like so unconditional. It's over the top. It's like, calm down. I just saw you an hour ago. No, but you're back. You're part of the tribe. What do I do? Give me some ideas. I don't know what to do without you. You're the alpha dog. Yeah. So can I ask you a couple questions about the vaccine? Do your parents just not vaccinate your dogs so they didn't get around to, or do they have an issue with the vaccine, or do you know, or?
No, they just never really like never did it. Never, not because, you know, I don't know. I just, never did it for any of their dogs.
Uh-huh.
So,
they must do a rabies vaccination though, right? Do they do that at least? Hope.
Yeah, they like today, I mean, well, recently mm-hmm. because of this, they went
mm-hmm.
right away and got vaccines for them. So,
sure.
Just to prevent any more loss, you know?
Yeah, sometimes that's what it takes, unfortunately. Well, you know, that's a metaphor for our times, really, Erica, because as you know, we're in a pandemic, worldwide pandemic. So and we've got vaccines coming out, even though they're being distributed kind of haphazardly, unfortunately. Well, plenty
mm-hmm.
of fingers, but, you know, we all have to make a decision about whether or not we're going to get vaccinated and what our comfort level is with that. If we're on the anti-vaxxer side of the spectrum, you know, or if we're somewhere in the middle, or if we're really pro-vaccination. That's a, you know, real parallel that I see for your story. In a way,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and, you know, I would hardly sleep. Sometimes I would forget to eat. Like, I was just so,
mm-hmm.
like, caring for her around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And
good for you.
And it almost made me feel like, oh, my gosh, like, this is literally a child. Like, I can't understand
mm-hmm.
the signs. I don't know what's
mm-hmm.
wrong with her. But this is what
mm-hmm.
I can do, and then this and that. And, I mean, a baby's not going to tell you
mm-hmm.
what's wrong with him. So
mm-hmm.
it literally felt like a baby, even though.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really did try, and I just,
mm-hmm.
and just, I'm sorry that happened to her. But I tried to, like, talk to her and show her that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was there caring for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure they both knew that. I'm sure they did because, you know. I can already tell you're a wonderful, loving person, especially since you wouldn't have stayed on and listened to me ramble on and on just so you could get a reading, you know, if you didn't love and care about these animals. So, you know,
yeah. And also, go ahead. Finish.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, animals know when they're cared for and they're loved and,
mm-hmm.
One of the things I have encountered doing readings for people and their pets is, you know, the pets never, there's like no regrets with them. They're not angry with us. And some of the times, you know, we do have to euthanize our pets because we have to for whatever reason. And they get it. Like, they're not angry. They don't hold grudges. And a lot of the time, they just know it's their time to go anyway. And, you know, they just, like I had a cat. He just disappeared, and he went under our neighbor's house, and he died under there, you know. And so they know when it's their time to go, and there's no regrets. And so that, I think, is, for me, very reassuring always.
Well, I started lighting a yellow candle for them, just, you know, just to give them light. And what's reassuring for me is the idea that they're in heaven, you know, and like there's nothing wrong that they could have done. And and so that to me is what's comforting. Like, they're, you know, they're happy somewhere, and you know, so that's what I think. And my mom's like, "Oh, it's gonna happen to everybody, you know, like they're in a better life. We're all heading there." Is her point of view?
We're all gonna transition out of the body. Is that what your mom meant?
Yeah, like someday we're all like, we're all heading there, and I just think, like, you know, they're very, probably very happy up there, and, you know, they're not sick up there. Like, I just, you know, that's what I think. And, but I did, this experience makes me want to, like, work with an organization, kind of like prevent, like, do awareness, especially in our community. Like, when, you know, we're Hispanics, like, this should be like a stand at the flea market, kind of doing that kind of things. And then that would be so cool. You know, there's a lot of parents like mine where they don't even like, they don't realize, like, oh, these vaccines are so important for your pets, like, you know, that type of thing.
Well, that'd be a great way to honor their memory, you know, would be to do some volunteer work and education on that particular issue. I'm sure if you talk to your vet, or there's probably a local chapter somewhere of the ASPCA or, you know, Humane Society. I know my sister, she's an animal lover too, really loves dogs, and she's on the board of the animal shelter where she works and does a lot of great animal rescue stuff. So that would be a wonderful thing for you to do, Erica, just because, you know. So I totally encourage you to do that.
Yeah, because, like, animals, like you said, they don't hold any grudges or anything, but they're just so happy with very little that you can provide them. Like, you know, they're just the happiest, you know, as long as they have food and water, like, that's all they really care about, you know? As long as you don't hurt them and hit them or abuse them, like, they're just the happiest little puppies everywhere. And I found two organizations. One is called Mikey's Chance, and the other one is called, it's called Pen Rescue.
You might want to repeat
that kind of thing, like, if you're...
You dropped out a little bit, Erica, sorry.
It's called Mikey's Chance, and the Pet Pitbull Rescue. They basically take dogs that people can no longer keep for whatever reason. It can be as simple as, hey, I can't afford the vet. That's $2,000 fee. They will pay up the fees, and then they, as long as you surrender the dog to them, like, rights, and then they will find a better home for them once they're gonna. I found out about that organization through this situation, and I think that I didn't think I think it's an amazing idea. And you hardly hear from those kind of organizations. And I think it's perfect because, you know, you can love your dog so much, but then maybe you can't afford the $2,000 you know, hospitalization care, but you still want them to have to live. You like, you want to give them that opportunity to live. And these organizations do that, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, hard decision to make, but yeah, it's nice to know that's out there. Yeah. My, my cousins down in, Southern California, they're part of a, I don't know what it's actually called, but it focuses on, you know, some groups, like you're talking about pit bulls, they focus on certain species, and they do a rehoming of golden retrievers, I think, is the species.
Oh, nice.
You know, so they, yeah, they go all over the counties down there and pick them up and take care of them. And at one point, you know, they were sheltering a bunch of puppies and the mother, and they couldn't help themselves. They ended up adopting another dog. So they've got three now, but that's, you know, you got to watch out for that one. But
yeah,
it's just great. You know, it's great that there are people like yourself that, you know, want to contribute, and people out there with these organizations. And I mean, you can't go wrong supporting animals. You know, they do so much for us, and they give us so much, and they often don't get enough in return. So. So do you have a, mind if I ask you another question or two, Erica? You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but you mentioned lighting a candle. Do you have a spiritual practice, or do you identify with a particular faith or anything? I know that's a kind of a personal question, but I'm just curious.
I'm Catholic because, you know, that's what my family is, but I also have like my own spiritual beliefs, and, like, I'm into, like, the whole NDAs and all that stuff. And, but I just think, like, with anybody, you know, like, you just want to light a candle and, you know, but because of the transition that you said, it might help them. I don't know.
Yeah. You used an acronym there. I don't know if I heard it right or if I'm familiar with it. Did you say NDAs? Like,
near-death experiences?
Do you know somebody who's had one of those, or are you interested in those in particular, or?
No, I just like watch on YouTube like people's experiences. And basically it's more like awareness to like, be a good person, because hell really does exist, and so does heaven, and just kind of that's kind of why I like to listen to whatever people, like other people's experiences. Like there was one lady that she attempted suicide, and God gave her apparently a second chance and was like, basically when it's not your time and you make force yourself, you know, you basically kill yourself, like you cause so much pain to others, like your family or whoever, and you need to, until they like release you, until they're like forgive you for what you did, you won't be able to, you're, like I said, you're just in a waiting period, kind of just until your time actually comes up, like what have came up on your life. Like you can't make that decision yourself. Like, oh, I'm just going to like be out, like be gone. You can't do that.
Yeah. Suicide's it's a tricky one, you know, and of course it depends on your belief system, right? Like you were saying with the near-death experiences, some people, it's not their time. And they, you know, get shown that. I think it really depends on, you know, what I would say your present personality is, understanding of spirituality, you know, what your framework is going to be. If you're like yourself, you're a Catholic, you know, maybe somebody from a different faith, you know, Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim, you know, they might have something similar or something, you know, different, but there's definitely among people that hold spiritual beliefs and religious beliefs, a sense of this isn't all there is. There's something, you know, beyond. And so, it can be intense when we have a near death experience, or when we, you know, maybe try to leave prematurely for whatever reason through suicide. You know, whenever suicide comes up, I always want to make sure to, because it can be triggering for people. If anybody's listening to this, you know, there's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and you can get help 24/7 there. There's people who are really supportive, and they will listen to you. And their number is 1-800 273-8255 if you need to call. But, yeah. Wow, this is just, you know, it's an intense conversation about, you know, losing your puppies and your death experiences. And, you know, I try to, I don't know how you feel about death entirely, Erica. Obviously, you've shared some of your beliefs, which is great. You felt comfortable doing that, and I appreciate it. You know, I think if you have a spiritual belief, it's easy to understand that death is really a transition. You know, it's a phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often think of having a good life. However, I also think it's really important to consider a good death, you know, and a lot of people are unprepared. And, you know, death comes in a lot of different ways, but it's not uncommon for people to not really think about what might happen during their transition process. You know, I know Michael and I, when we work with people that have passed on, it's not uncommon for us to encounter a soul who's really troubled or confused or just challenged by their transition process. And, you know, we do a lot to just kind of do what you did with your candle, you know, act as a beacon. You know, we kind of guide people to wherever it is they need to go, you know, whatever their next destination is. But it's really important to be compassionate.
Yeah, I'm not scared. I mean, yesterday I thought, oh my God, I feel so sick. I don't know, maybe it hit me too much, like the whole situation, you know, not sleeping, not eating well, all of that really took a toll.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling my hands really cold. I was like panicking. And I was like, I called my brother. I was like, if I pass away, I know. I was like, if something happens to me, there's life policy you don't know about.
Oh my goodness. Wow. You really
so
went
don't
there.
Worry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was scared. But not scared as in, oh, what's going to happen to me? I'm scared as in, I think it's coming. I see it coming.
Yeah.
Aw.
Well, you should call us back, Erica. You know, we're on every week.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to say something else? Yeah, what were you going to say something?
I can't remember, but do you think that I should just give it like a few months to like be able to connect? Because maybe you're right. I mean, it does take them a little bit to transition.
Well, let me ask you another question or two, if you don't mind. Have you ever tried connecting with? Have you ever tried connecting with people or animals that have been deceased? Is that something you've considered, or if you would feel comfortable trying on your own?
Not on my own because I don't know how to do it. But
Well, let me just share some things. Yeah, you know, obviously Michael's a trained medium, and I have my own process for connecting with the dead called psychopomp because I'm a shamanic practitioner. You know, the deceased are all around us. I would say all the time, on some level. And so, you know, if you're still feeling some unresolved with how these deaths happen with your precious beloved pets, you know, they still are communicating with you, even if you can't, you know, see them or maybe don't feel them. So the work that you did with the candle and the sadness you're feeling, you know, they know that that's going on because they were connected to you in life and they're connected to you in death, especially animals for some reason, even more than people, it seems like. I would encourage you to use whatever format you need as you work through your grief, Erica. You know, maybe you need to write some things out or just talk about them, like, you know, with sympathetic ears like Michael and I have. Michael's ears are much bigger than mine, so he hears more. mine are a little cuter, so I always hear cute stuff. But, you know, this has really affected you. And you're obviously a really wonderful, sensitive person. So it's going to be important for you, you know, while you're still having these feelings, to verbalize them, to work through them, to honor them, you know, and to not suppress them or stuff them. But, you know, if you're in the middle of, I don't know, Target or something, you feel the need to cry, just go to the handkerchief aisle and bawl your eyes out. And then, you know, if you want to buy the handkerchief, great. If you don't, give it to a staff person, tell them to wash it. You know, but give yourself permission to feel whatever you're going to feel. And that's a really powerful way to get through this. And if you feel called to go deeper, you know, if you want to, like, make a connection, you know, obviously Michael and I are here every week and we'd be happy. We'd love to have you back on because you're a lovely person. We know that just from engaging with you. And we'd be honored to try to contact your pets for you. But pay attention to your dreams and pay attention to other animals. Sometimes animals use other animals the way that humans use other humans to connect, you know. And so, you know, I'll shut up for a minute because I feel like I'm monopolizing the conversation. But you know, after my, I had a beloved cat that I watched being born. You know, we had her mother and she came out and I was there with kind of midwiving, so to speak, the kitties. So I really didn't do anything except watch because animals are amazing. I had this cat for over 16 years and she was my companion. And when I had a fire happen down the road where there was a cat that was unfortunately really scorched and ultimately it sadly had to be put to sleep, I did a journey on her behalf, this cat, to try to settle her down and help her move on. And during that journey process, my cat that had passed a year before came to me and connected and was very emotional and loving. And cats would come up to me and they'd be like, "Hey, you don't have a cat right now." And they'd audition for me, you know, like, "We want to be your cat." I'm like, "Not right now, please. Okay, I'm not in a good place. You know, I need to get over this, but I love you. You're cute, but, you know." So just pay attention and you'll get communication from these two. I know you will because they're still connected to you. They have to be because you really cared about them, you know. That, does that all make sense? I know I said a lot, but.
No, it does. I think that, I think it does. Instead of writing, I was thinking maybe I can write a letter, but I don't know, maybe I could just talk to them even though I don't see them and, you know.
Just, all of that.
I don't know, basically.
Writing a letter to them would be fabulous. Yeah. Yeah, talking to. Did you have anything, Michael, that coming up or?
No, I didn't. I was, as you were talking and I was listening to the conversation, I was trying to reach out to your dogs and I didn't hear anything. There was no response from them. So they're probably still in that space where they're transitioning. And yeah, that doesn't mean though that they're not going to, you know, show up. They will.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Do you have pictures of them at all, by any chance, or are you an artist?
I do.
Can you draw them? Yeah.
No, I'm not. I can't draw, but I look at their pictures and. I just, yeah, I like to look at their, especially now, like right now, you know, like, I just go through them and see how cute they were. And that's what I say, that's the first thing, like, they were so cute. And at first, it's funny because the other one, Kiko, he, I didn't like him because he was, like, brown, black, and white, like, very spotty and everything. And I didn't like him, but as time goes by, you just, like, you just love them, you know, regardless of their colors. So I was like, oh, I like a solid color, you know, but you just don't even care about size. I was like, it's so insignificant when you like start to love the puppies. And the brown one was my favorite. She was like a light brown, but only because of that, but then the other one became my favorite, the spotty one. So.
Wow. We'll see.
So I looked through the pictures.
Yeah. See how much they taught you about looking beyond the surface of things, right? To the deeper part of the soul and the personality. What a great lesson. I mean, animals are such good teachers. We don't even know they're giving us lessons until you think about it. You know, I have I don't know if Michael does this too, but I have an altar sometimes that I work with, Erica, where I put objects on there that I'm trying to venerate, you know, to develop a respectful spiritual relationship with, or that I just want to focus on or concentrate on. Sometimes things move onto the altar, sometimes they move off. You know, an altar can be something as simple as a cleared space. Yeah, in your room or wherever you have a undisturbed area, and a candle. Like, you know, that's kind of the beginnings of an altar. The candles are often used, you know, as long as you're using them safely, to create a sacred space where you can focus, you know. And some people like to meditate and bring up things. You could do meditation if you know that, or just focus on your breath and visualize, you know, your pets that have passed on. That's another great way to connect with them and release things, and also receive things. Having those pictures was what I was going to suggest. That's another really great way to really work through things, is to do what you're doing, which is to have those pictures and look at them and remember all the wonderful memories and what they look like, you know, the beautiful colors and everything. And and that story you told us about eventually, you know, begrudgingly coming to love just as much, maybe more, as than the one that you liked initially. All those things are in the mix when you have a picture and you're in a devoted space in your mind and your heart, and you're working with those images. You know, that's a really powerful way to connect too. So I'd encourage you to explore that as well. Wouldn't you say, Michael?
Yeah.
Do you have an altar, Michael? You have an altar, don't you?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. However, I don't want spirit was talking to me just now to give me a message to give to you. And they want you to know that you are going to be a very powerful adult. Like, when you finally reach your arc, you're going to be very powerful. And it feels like you are going to, already you can, I sense it, you fight for the underdog. You're going to be a champion for the underdog. There you go. and they want you to know that you need to kind of start recognizing your power. Do you understand that? Because they're saying that you feel inside that there's something very powerful about yourself, and that you really need to start recognizing that and acknowledge it. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And don't just kind of play it off and say, oh, being conceited, or no, I shouldn't do that. They're saying, no, you need to start now acknowledging how powerful you really are. Okay. Because that is going to help you get to that place in your life that you need to get to, that you are destined to be. And so it's important. Okay.
And just to validate that, it's totally true. Like, I like to fight. Like, I just see when I see, like, things that are wrong, I'm like, oh, heck no, you know, like, no, it's like, no, she didn't. And especially with my parents, you know, they're Spanish speaking only. And, like, especially my mom, she, like, doesn't like any legal troubles. And I moved back to their home. And when I did that, I accidentally wrecked my car. So I was carless for a little bit.
Oh, no.
And then I started realizing it's okay. It's just material stuff. So I started realizing, like, they had these, what do you call them? Like, not renters. But yeah, I guess the renters, tenants. And some of them wouldn't pay and only paid when they wanted. Like, I realized that some of them were stealing my stuff in the storage.
Oh, my God.
And, like, they were just, like, horrible people. And my mom had told me, like, oh, I've already asked them to leave, but they refused to leave. And so, like, I started doing a bunch of legal paperwork and got him out. Like, I was like, I'm going to get him out one way or another. And and I made it happen.
Good.
So,
good.
So, like you said, I do like to, sometimes I get myself in a little bit of trouble, but I do like to fight that just because it's wrong.
Yeah, that's okay. They're also saying, though, that when you do have to stand up to people, that it's important for you to kind of learn how to control yourself and not allow your emotions to get the best of you, because they show me it feels kind of like at times you get angry. You know, it's a righteous anger, and it's you know, valid, but they're saying you need to learn how to control that so that the other people don't see that. And so you also need to pursue education. They're really wanting you to get schooling and get some degrees, because it feels almost like a lawyer. Do you want to be a lawyer?
I'm taking my LSAT for the law school entrance exam in April.
I've always known
that I wanted to be an
attorney.
You really are a fighter. Good for you.
You really do have a
good to be. Hello.
There's a reason he's a psychic.
Right. So they want you to really be able to talk to people and, you know, not get caught up in the emotion, but a very intellectual way of directing information to people, where it's kind of like, you know, I appreciate or I don't appreciate the way you're speaking to me and blah, 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 blah. And then you rattle off all your lawyer lingo and you can put people in place. And
I realize that what you're saying. I said something to my mom because I was angry. I was like Kiko's dying, we need to take him to the vet. The first one, I didn't understand what was going on with him, and she's like, no, they're gonna charge so much. And I just didn't even care about that. I was like, no, he needs to, like, have medical attention. I was like, you shouldn't be a dog owner. And I was, like, going off on her. And then I apologized later because, like, I shouldn't act like that, you know. So I think a little bit more.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to make any assumptions, but it may be a cultural thing, too, you know. Your parents' perspective on animals. I mean, every culture has a different kind of comfort level with their relationship with animals. Some are like family, some are, you know, like family, but maybe not quite as close. And some are, you know, they're animals and they're always going to be animals and they work and they provide things, but, you know, so I'm not making excuses for them or trying to explain anything you don't already know, but, you know, just kind of suggesting a little wiggle room in there, maybe between your strong beliefs, and it sounds like your parents' equally strong beliefs. You know, maybe there's a middle ground. Sounds like so. You know, the other thing I was going to suggest. Oh, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, they tend to be like hoarders. And just because, like, things can be free or whatever, like, if they're free, like, I'll take them, you know, or, like, she'll go shopping for things she doesn't need or things like that. And I was like,
wow.
I went off. That was one of the things that I said, too.
Yeah. Wow. I am just, there's too much to go into, but I am just, once again, like, in awe of how spirit always shows us people that we need to have on the program. We always think, oh, we're doing this for you, but we also get validated as well. I just I'll just say that there's a person very close to me who's also a hoarder, like full on, and my sister and I are going to deal with this person this weekend. So we're actually de-hoardifying their house. So it's going to be an intense process. I've already started. Oh, my God.
And,
oh,
you know, and
God.
What I realized.
So, what did you realize, Erica? Share with us.
That I was going off, right? Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Why is it so difficult to let go of things? And, like, but then,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, obviously I felt guilty for even saying anything. It's like their home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized,
mm-hmm.
like, there's something psychologically wrong with them, actually.
Correct.
Like, they're sick in the head.
Correct.
And
I
never really realized
Correct.
That until that day.
Yep.
Like, you can't
Bing
change
dong.
Anybody. And it's not
mm-hmm.
even their fault either. It's like a psychological thing, because I know that my stepdad's
mm-hmm.
dad was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to
mm-hmm.
expect? Like, you know, he grew
mm-hmm.
up like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when I realized
right.
that,
you...
I backed off
yeah.
completely.
Smart move. Don't you love this caller, Michael? This is like one of the best callers
yeah.
I've ever had. I just love Erica. She,
yeah.
I just want to eat her up with a spoon. I mean that respectfully. Like, you're just great. Your perspective, your demeanor, you're going to be like the most, but also kindest lawyer. And that is like a deadly combination. My wife has some lawyer background. I come from a long family line of lawyers. My great-grandfather,
uh-huh.
my great-great-grandfather is a lawyer. So I know people look down on lawyers,
uh-huh.
but when they bring justice for people that deserve it, they are the most amazing beings on the planet, seriously. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was also going to say before I forgot, you know, I think you have some dog medicine in you. We're talking about wolf medicine tonight, but dog is really adjacent. So I don't know if you're ever called to look at animal guides or, you know, what are called power animals in some traditions, or just animal totems. But I would encourage you to see if dog medicine is something that you carry, because I have a feeling I'm pretty spot on about this based on your characteristics. There's different ways to connect with it, you know, with different power animals and things like that. Sometimes they just show up for a period of time, but sometimes they're like our lifelong ally. However, you know, I've done enough power animal retrievals for people that I would be willing to bet my shamanic creds, such as they are, that you've got really strong dog medicine. You know, there were dog soldiers in some of the tribes here in Turtle Island, and they were so called that because they were like picked as an honor to be the ones who stuck behind and made sure that everybody in the tribe was safe no matter what happened. So very powerful. So, I don't know if that resonates with you or not, but I definitely am feeling the emotional intensity of it. So. So good for you. Well, you know, you should call us again and check in and let us know how you're progressing with your studies and with your relationship with spirit and yourself and your puppies. And maybe we can actually end up doing some mediumship work with you for them on your behalf at some point, you know, when they're ready to create that option. But you know, we've
mm-hmm.
kind of gone over our show, so we probably should let you go on to whatever fun you're going to have for the rest of the evening here on the West Coast. And we'll just thank you again for calling, Erica. It was really wonderful getting
to
know you.
Yeah, thank you for having
me. The show. Yeah,
thank
let
you.
Us call
Thanks,
again.
Guys.
Know how things go for you. It'd be nice
yeah.
to hear from you again. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
Always welcome on the
yep.
Psychic Funhouse. Yeah, please follow us so we can stay on
yep.
top of things. All right?
All right.
All
have
right.
a good
evening.
Bye.
Oh,
have a good
you
one.
Too. Have a lovely weekend.
You too.
All right, my friend. All right, my friend. Good night for now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all she needs to do is work on her wolf howl, and she'll be perfect.
Jesus, crazy.
Yeah, I'm having some tech difficulties here. I don't know what's up. I don't know if it's the board or what, but I'm not able to put her on mute. Maybe you can make sure that happens on your end. You might have a better connection
okay.
to me or something, Mr. Espinosa. Por favor.
Yeah. She hung up. All right. Yeah. God, that went so quickly.
Isn't it wild? It's just great.
Yeah.
That was wonderful,
really
wonderful
quick.
Client. Yeah.
Oh, there's that noise, that song.
Mm-hmm. Outro. Well, Mr. Espinoza, what's the best way to get in touch with you for more?
My website.
Exciting stuff.
MichaelJEspinoza.com. You can call me at 562-457-0457. You can call or text there. How about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, my phone number is 541-344-7534. Email givingtree@earthlink.net. My Facebook page is Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and my website, givingtreefarm.com. So
yeah.
What's happening next week? Just for a recap, we've got a guest.
Yes, we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Jennifer Palladino. She's going to come on and talk about sound healing. So come back and hear all about what sound does to the body. It's going to be interesting. So we're even going to try to do a little experiment and see if some of her tools work online. We'll see.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That should be, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us here
everybody.
On the Psychic
thank you.
Funhouse podcast. On behalf of my lovely co-host, Mr. Michael Espinoza, this is Lawrence Birch, howling off. Ow!
Good night,
everybody.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.